Welcome to Stage Talk, KSKE's weekly conversation about local performing arts. I'm Steve Hunt. I'm your host. Today we have two people here from the Anchorage Opera. They're opening tonight, Carmen, at the Discovery Theater, running this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and on Sunday. And we have two new people this time with the Anchorage Opera. We have Brian Damaris, who is the conductor, and David Lefkowitz, who is the stage director. And welcome to the show, Brian and David.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So let's start with David as the stage director. Tell us a little bit about Carmen. What many people know the name, maybe know some of the music, but don't know about this opera that had a bit of an auspicious beginning, didn't it?
Well, you know, it's an incredibly interesting piece. It's one of those operas that when someone says, come and direct Carmen, I think, oh, no, because there's just so much to it. You know, there's a huge chorus, terrific orchestra, there's kids fighting, dancing, ballet. I mean, it really truly has everything. What's interesting about the piece is that when it was premiered, Bizet died before the end of the run.
Georges Bizet, the composer, yeah.
And so he didn't actually see what a success Carmen ended up being in sort of present-day society. He actually died thinking that it was a flop. And what a shame, because this is a piece that has sort of withstood the test of time. I find that, you know, when we were in our rehearsal period, people would come in, and even if they didn't know the show, they would be sort of moving along and all of a sudden singing along, not realizing that the music was inherently inside of them.
And Brian, tell us about your approach to the show.
Well, if I can add on to what David just said,
sure.
In terms of the premiere, not to give away the ending, but it is a tragedy that was premiered at the Opéra Comique in France, which was used to lighter fare. So there was some of that shock to the audience as well as the producers at the time that, gosh, did this piece belong at this opera company that used to produce much lighter fare. The other thing is it was originally written with dialogue, spoken dialogue, much more like a musical, tunes, dialogue. And then later, in order for it to be embraced by the larger lyric opera companies, the recitatives were composed so that all that dialogue was sung. So the version that we're doing is with all the sung dialogue. So in terms of my process with every piece, I always start with the text. I think the purpose of opera is the story told through music. So I always start with the story and start with the words and then see what the composer has done to really illustrate the text.
You know, that's so funny because when I go back and I begin my process, I start with the music. And I have to live in the music for about 6 months or a year even before we even begin to talk about what the designs are, even before I look at the text. Because if the music isn't inside me, then it's hard to figure out, well, where are these people going to go while they're telling this incredible story?
And so, Brian and David, did you talk before you came up here to work on the show, or were you working on it before you came up here?
David and I actually are best friends, and we go back a long way. And we work together an awful lot in academia, professionally as well. And we have gotten to the point where we just kind of read each other's minds. But this is our first time doing Carmen together.
Well, that's interesting. Well, yeah. Since we've broached that subject, give us some information about your background. You two are the first time you've come to Anchorage, the first time you've worked with Anchorage Opera, obviously. David, give us some about your background.
I come from actually a theater background and music background. I studied at Northwestern University and then did my master's work in Paris. And learned a lot about stage combat, actually. And so I had my foray into opera doing sword fighting and stage fighting at Glimmerglass Opera. And Brian and I were actually roommates in both of our first gigs ever in the opera world. And we just sort of, there was just something there right from the beginning. We just really knew that we were going to be working together. Flash forward about, I won't say how long, but a significant amount of time. And now we actually run a company in Minneapolis, a summer opera festival called the Mill City Summer Opera. And Brian is the music director, I'm the artistic director, and we have a great place to collaborate and create grand opera in an incredible flour mill that exploded at the last half of the 20th century and left a fantastic European-feeling courtyard space where opera lives every July.
Sounds exciting. And Brian, what about your background other than being a roommate with David?
I grew up in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County. I played in orchestras and was drum major of my marching band and sang in choir and did community music theater. But I didn't discover opera until I was in college. And my teacher in college actually was the person that connected me with Glimmerglass Opera, encouraged me to pursue opera. I didn't know as a pianist in my upbringing that you could have a role in opera, but that's where I kind of got hooked. And then I taught at Ithaca College for 7 years, just moved to Arizona to lead the program at Arizona State University. And in addition to my academic career, I perform a few operas each year around the country and every summer with David here.
Well, glad to have you come to Alaska.
Oh, we're just so excited to be here. We worked with, you know, Reed and Judy, who are the new leaders of the Anchorage Opera as of last year, over at the Tri-Cities Opera in upstate New York several seasons ago. And it was just a real love fest. You know, we think we all got along really well. And when they came here, they said, why don't you guys come out here and create some opera for us? And we were really happy to do so.
Well, how's the process been up here? I'm sure you've had some great talents here in Anchorage. I'm sure you've had some wonderful times working with our local opera company members, and also the stage combat you mentioned a moment ago. There's some combat in Carmen, isn't there?
Oh, it feels like every scene there's all of a sudden a sword fight or a knife fight or ladies brawling, and it keeps it really interesting for me, certainly. I mean, it's sort of a nail biter. You know, with opera rehearsals, we don't have a tremendous amount of time. So when we got here, I think now about 2.5 weeks ago, we just hit the ground running, and every day there's been long rehearsals, but everyone's really taken to it and has been really excited about embracing sort of a non-traditional version of Carmen, in the sense that they're not going to just stand and sing and then go off stage. You'll still see visuals that represent the 1820s where Carmen is set, but this is not a stand and sing sort of grandparent opera. This is everyone is fully engaged not only in the story, in the action, but really in the music making.
Well, that sounds great. For those of you just tuning in, this is Stage Talk. I'm Steve Hunt, your host. We're talking about Anchorage Opera's production of Carmen, which opens tonight and runs through this weekend. And my guests today are Brian McMaris, who is the conductor, and David Lefkowitz, who is the stage director for the show. We're talking about Carmen and their approach to it. And you mentioned something just now, David. It's not your grandparents stand and sing opera, which has always been one of those things about opera that I've seen changing in the time I've been working in live theater, is that it's gone from this sort of almost concert type of performance to really incorporating the acting, the stage combat. You mentioned, Brian, always starting with the text, where at one time it was more the music. And I'm seeing this wonderful movement from opera closer to theater, and also, of course, theater now going more towards opera. Is that what you guys have found in your working with opera and maybe musical theater as well?
Yeah, I always find my approach to opera as theater, not as symphony or concert. I mean, that all, of course, is there. And the thing that draws me to opera is that it has everything in it, including dance and acting and singing and these full symphonic scores. But I think in terms of the storytelling, if you approach it first as theater and you kind of look at what you need at the bare minimum to tell the story in a really impactful way, and then you add to that. But I think to our expectations of theater have changed since the advent of opera, but also since the advent of the internet too. So I think people come to opera expecting much more energetic and impactful form of entertainment than they would have even in, you know, 30 years ago.
And the less experienced opera goers sort of expect to be bored. And I think that is sort of something that we're really doing away with now. You know, opera's only boring when it's handled poorly. But modern day singers, conductors, directors have really taken to how do we make this come alive? And for example, the Carmen is played by Audrey Babcock. She looks the part. She sounds the part. She dances. She plays the castanets. This isn't someone who's just coming here to sing. This is someone who's here to embody the role entirely. And it's a feat of nature watching her just tear up the stage, destroy people in her path. And I mean, she's truly the essence of Carmen, both on the stage and off.
You must be excited to work with someone who's so well-rounded then.
For me, it's sort of, if it wasn't like this, it would be a really depressing last couple of weeks, because although the visuals of Anchorage are fantastic, you know, you really need something to bite into with a piece like Carmen, and a sassy mezzo like Audrey is really what you want leading a production.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you mentioned internet a moment ago in relationship to opera. Can you expand on that somewhat? How has it affected opera?
I think that the internet has taken our intake of entertainment and audiovisual material is literally right in front of our face now. And opera was constructed as more of a distant art form. You know, it's larger theaters you're far away, you're removed from the faces, and you don't have that upfront personal contact. I think, you know, part of our challenge in this day and age is to really show to that person in the very back of the house what that singer or actor is going through up on stage, and really help everybody feel like they're a part of it. No matter whether it's a small house and you're in the front row seat, or if it's a large house and you're almost a city block away, I think the challenge to directors, conductors, actors, singers, producers of opera is to really help everybody feel like they're up there on stage and part of that opera, whether it's by bringing to light the grandness of it and just enveloping everybody in its bigness, or really bringing it in and pulling the audience in those more intimate moments.
And I feel like also modern, like, audiences now want to empathize with what's going on. They don't want to just sort of watch and fall asleep, but they want to experience even just a slight amount of what these performers are going through. And I mean the characters actually themselves. So with Don José, with his pain about losing Carmen, it's always more interesting and sort of brings up those feelings of what we've gone through in the past. And I think ultimately that makes a more satisfying performance.
I do have to say one thing about opera, and that is that this is like baseball or golf. It's boring on TV, right? And I remember just a personal anecdote that when I was, the first time I experienced opera really was as a college student, and I worked on some operas at the Spoleto Festival in Charleston, and suddenly they were alive. They were not in front of me on a TV set or internet screen as you're talking about now. You have to really experience them, don't you?
Absolutely.
And if something happens, changes with the audience, with the performers, like just like theater.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I think I had a friend that listened to opera, and I remember listening to it and thinking, gosh, I can't wrap my head around this at all. And I think it wasn't until I actually saw an opera that I realized, oh, I understand this. An opera is not to be listened to. You can listen to it. That's part of what you can do. It's similar to reading the script of an opera, the libretto. That is not the opera. It is sort of just one of the bricks that makes up the whole building.
Experience.
Yeah, and until you actually really go see it, then you really realize, just how huge and exciting an art form it is.
Sounds exciting. We have about a minute left. Is there anything especially new you're doing with this opera that might have not been done before, or is it simply just a matter of the combination of you and the performers and the musicians makes it new?
I think absolutely what you just said is exactly right, that combination makes it new. We're trying to do away with the grand opera stuffiness of the past, where you have the audience waiting as the scene changes for 20 minutes and then you go back into the action. This is set in more of a singular space with props to help identify the locations that we're in. So you'll still see, again, a traditional Carmen, but we're trying to get rid of the pieces that make it exhausting. We're trying to make it just fly by so that every moment is full and has an impact.
Just like Carmen herself.
Exactly.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to thank my guests, Brian Damaris and David Lefkovich, the stage director and conductor for Anchorage Opera's Carmen, performing in the Discovery Theater, opening tonight and running through this weekend. Thank you, Brian, for being on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you, David.
Thanks so much.
Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.